ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter number 16 and Text number 15. Ranjayishyati yallokam
Ranjayishyati yallokam
Ayam atma vichesitai अथामं आहु राजानं मनोरंजना कही प्रजा रंजायिष्यति यल्लोकं अयम् आत्मा विचेष्टितै अथामं आहु राजानं मनोरंजना कहे प्रजा रंजायिष्यति यल्लोकम् अयम् आत्मा विचेष्टितै अथामं आहु राजानं मनोरंजना कहे प्रजा रंजायिष्यति विल To us, will please. Yet, because Lokam, the entire world, I am this king, Atma, personal, which is detained by activities. Atha, therefore, Amum, him, Ahu, they call Rajanam, the king, Manaranjana Kahi. Very pleasing to the mind. Raja, the citizens. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. This king will please everyone by his practical activities. And all his citizens will remain very satisfied. Because of this, the citizens will take great satisfaction in accepting him as their ruling king. There is no paper to 15, 12, 16 as well. Translation. The king will be firmly determined and always situated in truth. He will be a lover of the Brahminical culture and will render all service to all men and give shelter to all surrendered souls. Giving respect to all, he will always be merciful to the poor and innocent. The word Vridh Sevaka is very significant. Vridh means old man. There are two kinds of old men. One is old by age and another is old by knowledge. This Sanskrit word indicates that one can be older by advancement of knowledge. King Prithu was very respectful to the Brahmanas and he protected them. He also protected peasants. He also protected peasants advanced in age. Whatever the king would decide to do, no one would be able to stop. This is called Dritta Sankalpa or Dritta Vrita, determination. ओम ज्ञानति विनन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जना शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः नमः विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशातारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर शिवाशदी गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्ण। So, given it is Kartik month, I'm actually going to speak on as many other preachers have known. In the recent past, spoken on the auspicious month of Kartik on the especially on the Damodar Astakam pastime, Damodar Lila pastime. So I'm probably going to just follow the suit as well, and we will discuss this glorious pastime of the Lord getting bound up by Mother Yashoda. But before that, just and maybe a minute just to put this Bhagavatam into the context. At the moment, the pastime of King Prithu is going on. And we saw how he appeared and then how he got coronated as the king. And in this particular chapter, which is chapter 16, is titled Praise of King Prithu by the Professional Reciters. So here we see that Prithu Maharaj is being praised and glorified in many aspects. Up till yesterday in the Bhagavatam class, we saw that how his qualities were compared with the demigods, like Chandra, Varuna, Agni, Vayu, etc. All the demigods, his characteristics and qualities were being compared with the demigods. And from today, thank you, and for the next maybe 3, 4, 5, maybe even 6 verses, his qualities are being mentioned. So very quickly, what are his qualities being mentioned? So we started with 15. What did we say? What did we see? The king will please everyone. Excuse me. The king will please everyone. So that's his first quality. He will be able to please everyone by practical activities. And all his citizens will remain satisfied. Because of this, the citizens will take satisfaction in accepting him as their ruling king. So the citizens will accept him as the ruling king. That's his quality. Next, in 16 we saw, the king will be firmly determined and always situated in truth. Very determined and always situated in truth. Next two qualities. He will be lover of Brahminical culture. Next quality. Lover of Brahminical culture. And will render all service to old men. He will look after the old people as well. And give shelter to all surrendered souls. Shelter to every living entity. Giving respect to all. Giving respect to all. Now this giving respect to all is quite important, because Lord Chaitanya tells us, in his Sikshastakam, 8 stanzas, the importance of paying respect to all and not expecting any respect in return. Trinadapi suni chayana, tarorapi sahishnuna, amani na manadena, kirtanya sadahari. Amani. Man in Sanskrit means respect. So amani. Man means respect. So aman means what now? No respect. No respect for our own self. Amani na. Manadena. Dena in Sanskrit means to give. So no respect, don't expect any respect for us, but give respect to others. Amanina manadena, kirtanya sadahari. In that state of mind, one can chant Hare Krishna. So here the same qualities we can see in Maharaj Prithu, giving respect to all. And the Sanskrit translation was manadaha, manadaha, those who, that gives respect. And the next quality is, he will always be merciful to the poor and the innocent. So that's the context of this particular Srimad Bhagavatam verse in the Bhagavatam. Today, I'll be speaking on the Damodar Astakam itself, understanding the 8 stanzas that we have been singing, in the temple since the beginning of the Kartik month, almost 2 weeks ago. So what are the deeper meanings of these 8 stanzas? And my endeavor is, to elucidate, on these 8 verses, so that when we are singing the Damodar Astakam itself in the morning 7 a.m. and evening 7 p.m. and if you are singing at home or wherever, then hopefully, this gives us that extra bit of information through which we can hopefully imbibe a deeper meditation rather than just offering the candles. Yeah, offering the candle is nice. But when we can offer with the mood of understanding the verses, hopefully, it deepens our own relishment and our bhakti for the Lord as well. Yeah? As I was saying in the Diwali lecture, a couple of days ago in the temple, that this offering of lamb has got various meanings at various levels. For the Damodar Astakam, when we are offering the lamb to the Lord, it is literally an offering. That's why it's called lamb offering. Offering means our present, no, our gift to the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is already present there, and we are offering Him our gift. No, so that's the significance of the lamb. Whereas in the Diwali pastime, when Lord Ram returns to Ayodhya, when the citizens are lighting up the lamp, it's not an offering, it's not a gift to the Lord, but more as a symbol of invocation, you know, and welcoming back the Lord. Different meaning there. Now, the Lord is not present in one sense, because in one sense Lord is present everywhere, He's all pervading, but in this particular pastime, you know, the Lord has been exiled to the forest. So when He's coming back, that welcoming is through the lighting of the lamp. So different meaning there. Anyway, there can be many meanings for the lamp. So, in the Damodar Astakam pastime, Damodar Lila pastime, it can be quite bewildering, you know, to a new person, this whole pastime. Why? We are quite, you know, used to, you know, understanding that Krishna is God, and Krishna is very naughty, you know, and he is a very naughty child. You know, all those things we have become very familiar with. But for somebody new, you know, to the philosophy, you know, this can look a bit far out, bit too much to handle. Why? Because the concept of God, you know, is generally in many different philosophies and cultures, you know, has got different perceptions and images of God. Somebody who is a king, somebody who is very powerful, you know, somebody who would be very embodiment of all good characters, like that. Now, of course, that is true, no? And we find all that in Krishna as well. But what we also understand from our acharyas, no? That Krishna has got all the good qualities and the opposites as well. Krishna has got all the good qualities and the opposites as well. So, for example, you know, in this pastime, we see, now philosophically understanding, we know that the Lord is Atmara. What does that mean? He is self-satisfied. He doesn't need anybody else to give him satisfaction. No, he is self-satisfied, Atmara. But what is happening here? No, he is hungry. And he is, you know, looking for that milk, for that bacha, you know, from Mother Yashoda. From the milk from the Mother Yashoda, actually, which is not coming. So there is a paradox here. How can Lord be Atmaram, you know, self-sufficient, but he is hungry? Now, not only he is hungry, you know, when Mother Yashoda puts him aside, and to go and attend to the milk that was boiling on the stove, you know, he also gets angry. What do we expect God to be? Somebody who is peace personified, who is embodiment of peace. Here the peace personified is angry. How can God be angry? So not only is hungry, but he is angry as well. Then we see, you know, that the Lord, when we come to the temple, you know, what is our mood when we are taking darshan? We are offering our heartfelt prayers, you know, to the Lord on the altar. You know. The Lord is an object of prayers. What is happening to Krishna here in Gokul? He is being chastised by Mother Yashoda. The object of prayer is being chastised and scolded. How can that be God? Etc. etc. So many paradoxes are there. And we understand why. Because it's Krishna's pastime to give pleasure to his pure devotees. So, with that, you know, this Damodar Astakam, you know, Dam means rope, Uddara in Sanskrit means belly, and Astakam means eight. So this Damodar Astakam is something about the belly and the rope and eight stanzas, you know. It's a poem. There are three things, you know. There is prayer, there is poetry, and there is song. Prayer is something, you know, that is quite common in every aspect of human beings, you know, wherever we go. People offer prayer. Prayer is a offering from our heart, you know, for the glorification of the Lord, or also for a revelation of what is in our heart, you know, when we offer prayers to the Lord. Sometimes it can be spontaneous, sometimes it can be premeditated, you know, but it's an offering of our mental disposition to the Lord. Praising Him or revealing our own heart. Poem, on the other hand, is a verbalization of, you know, the emotions. The poet's emotions that he puts in a poem. And of course, we know that poem has got its own structure and all that. You know, it's not just any random prayer. It has to follow certain structures. You know, so that's poem. Now, a song, on the other hand, is different because a song can also be, you know, an expression of emotions, but songs generally rhyme. Poetry has got its own structure, but a song has to rhyme. And the key difference between poem and song is that, you know, when it comes to poem, it has got a very deep meaning, you know, which, whether it's in Vedic context or even in our material context, there will be a deeper meaning to it which can be studied and commented on, you know, and analyzed. Whereas song is more just a memory kind of, you know, image in the mind that we just keep singing. You will not find people writing commentaries on song. Indian Bollywood songs, you know, Dhoom Machale Dhoom. Now, you will not find people writing commentary on the song. I don't know many Western songs, so I can't sing one. No? But like that. No, it's just something that you hear and kind of, you know, relish and then forget about it. If you can forget. Otherwise, it's the back of the mind. So there's a difference. Now, the beauty of Satyavrata Muni, who is the poet in this case, he brings the integration between the three into one. Why? Because as we understand the Astakam, there is his prayer to the Lord. No, there is something that he is requesting, especially in the middle part of the poem, you know, in verses, stanzas 3, 4, 5, like that, you know. There is something that he is requesting. So his prayer is there. He is also glorifying the Lord. So that's the prayer step. Now, of course, it's a poem because it's 8 stanzas, Damodara Astakam. And it's also a song because we can sing it. So it's a beautiful integration of the three different, you know, aspects of songs, prayers and poems. So how does it start? And I've got 40 minutes for 8 verses. As an accountant, I'm calculating, you know, 8 fives are 40. So I've got 5 minutes per stanza and I'll pace it that way so I don't run out of time. My accounting knowledge is coming to some use in Bhagavatam class. Okay. It's just a joke. So, Namam Ishwaram Sachidananda Rupam. Namam Ishwaram. So, if you see the mood of Satyavrata Muni, immediately there is Namam. Nama means obeisances. No? Humble obeisances. Namam Ishwaram. So, Namam. He is paying obeisances. Obeisances to whom? Ishwaram. Now, Satyavrata Muni could have started with what are the names of Krishna, you know, that is prominent in Gokul, in Vrindavan? Gopal. What else? Makanchor. Govinda. Kana, you know. So he could have equally said, Namam, you know, Gopala. Namam, Gopala, Sachidananda Rupam. No, he didn't say that. He just jumped immediately into Namam, Ishwara. Why like that? Because, you know, he's warning us to say, dear devotees, that do not mistake this particular form of God, who at the moment is bound by Mother Yashoda. Don't mistake that this personality, who is such a small baby, if he is bound by another human being, then he cannot be God. Don't make this mistake. Therefore, immediate, you know, clarification that who is this personality that I am writing the poem about, that I am offering my prayer. Who is this? He is Ishwar. Namam Ishwar. Now, Ishwar means what? No? He is the controller. So, at the moment, another paradox. While Mother Yashoda is controlling Krishna, don't forget that he is still the controller. The one who is bound is still the liberator. So, Namam Ishwar. And who is this Ishwar? Sachidananda. So, Sachidananda Rupam. So, this personality God has got a Rupa, no, Rupam form. And that form is Sachidananda. So, Krishna's form is Sachidananda. That is his true form. But it can take different shapes if you like. As an example, sometimes, you know, when we have got birthday cakes, you know, kids will want a particular type of, you know, topping on their cake, shapes, like a horse or a doll, you know, or a train, you know, something like that. So what does the baker do, the cake baker, you know, she will still use all the creams and make a horse. The horse will be made purely of cream. The train will be made of cream. The doll will be made of cream. So in a sense, there is still cream. It's just that the shape is different. So here similarly Krishna is Sachidananda, but he is looking like Gopal at the moment, you know, young baby Krishna. He is still Ishwara. Namam Ishwaram Sachidananda Rupam. So what does Satyavrata Muni does here? He describes the personality. Who is the personality that I am talking about? And who is it? Namam Ishwaram. I am talking about Ishwara. Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajamanam. Lasat means fortune. Lasat Kundalam. Kundal means, you know, the earrings. So he is describing Krishna by describing his earrings. And Lasat means fortune. Why is the earring so fortunate? Because when Krishna is running in fear of Mother Yashoda, no, running from the grinding mortar, his earrings are big and it gets to kiss Krishna's cheeks. That's the fortune of the earrings, to be able to kiss Krishna's cheek. No? Many ornaments Krishna is wearing, but this one at the moment is the most fortunate because it gets to kiss Krishna. Lasat Kundala. Gokule Brajaman. Where is this happening? This is happening in Gokula. Brajamana means, splendor, in the splendorous Gokula. So, first was personality. Who is the personality? Ishwaram. Second is the locality. Where is the locality? Gokule. Lasat Kundalam, Gokule Brajana. Yashoda Bhiyo Lokya Ladha Vamana. Yashoda is Mother Yashoda. Bhiya, Bhaya in Sanskrit means fear. So, Krishna is in fear. In fear, what does Krishna do? Yashoda bhiyo lukhalad. Ukhalad means, I told you, know, is the grinding mortar where Krishna was standing on when he was breaking the, you know, when he was sitting and eating the butter. So in fear of Mother Yashoda, he jumps from the grinding mortar. Lasat kundalam gokule. Yashoda bhiyo lukhalada vamana. He is running very fast, after jumping from the grinding mortar. In fear of Mother Yashoda. Yashoda bhiyo lukha. Now this particular pastime is more famous, of course, for Krishna getting bound up by Mother Yashoda, but equally because of Mother Yashoda herself as well. Because the ability of her to bind Krishna, which is something that is not ordinarily possible. So what does Yashoda mean? Yash in Sanskrit means fame. Generally, when we talk about Krishna's qualities, or definition of God, we talk about, Yash is one of the six characteristics, that the Acharyas have given. Aishwarya Samardasya, Viryasya, Yashashasriya. Yash, Krishna is fine. And Da means that who gives. So Yashoda. Yashoda means that person who gives Yash to Krishna. So fame to Krishna. So she makes Krishna very famous because of this pastime. Yeah? Yashoda Bhiyo Loka. Param Ristam Atyanta Todrute Gopya. This Gopya, who is this Gopya? Mother Yashoda. Param Ristam Atyanto. So Param Ristam means, she catches Krishna running faster than Krishna. Krishna is now jumping, you have to visualize with me. Yeah? Krishna is jumping from the grinding mortar and running away in fear of Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda runs faster than Krishna and catches her from behind. Param Ristam, from behind. Atyantato. Drutya Gopya. Drutya means faster. Gopya is Mother Yashoda. So another paradox. We are told that the Lord is the fastest. Lord can travel faster than our mind. How quickly our mind can travel? No, travel your mind. Where is it reached? Where is your mind now?
Gokul.
See, he reached Gokul in nanoseconds. Krishna can reach Gokul faster than that. That's his speed. Now, how is it possible that somebody who can run so fast is caught by somebody else? How can Mother Yashoda run faster than Krishna? How can somebody outrun God? Not possible. What kind of God is he that cannot, run away from another, pure devotee in this case, but another human being? So it seems very ironical again, another quality of Krishna, to be caught by somebody who is running faster than him. So why is it possible? How is it possible that the uncatchable got caught? The uncatchable got caught. Why is it possible? How is it possible? Satyavrati Muni explains us in the next stanza. Rudam tamuhur netra yogmam rijantam. Rudam means crying. Another paradox. Now when we are crying, as devotees, where do we go? We come to the temple and offer our, prayers to the Lord to say, abhi hamara band baja hua hai. Now we are coming through tough times. Are we going through our own trials and tribulations in life? Oh my Lord, kuch to karo, do something about me. What is wrong? My chanting is not good. Or some, vanda with the devotees, issues with the devotees. What is going on? We pray to the Lord like that. So here, when we are crying, we are going to Lord. Satyavrata Muni is saying that the Lord is crying. Where do we go if the Lord himself is crying? Another ironical aspect of God. So I told you at the beginning, God in our definition means No, he's got all the qualities and the opposites as well. So he can make us laugh, he can make us cry. He can laugh, Krishna always smiles, and he can cry. Rudamta muhu rinetsa. No? Muhu means again and again. No? So rudamta. No? He's crying again and again. No? Rudamta muhu netra yogmam rijantam. Netra is the eyes. So when he's crying, what he's doing to the eyes? No? Rijantam. Rijantam means rubbing the eyes. What's in Hindi? You know, jab bachche aisa karte, no? When they are rubbing the eyes. What's the Hindi word? Or aankh mal rahe, no? Like he is rubbing his eyes. So rijantam, rudanta muhur netra yogmam rijantam. With his two hands, he is rubbing his eyes and crying. Karam bhoja yugme na satanka netram karam bhoja. Ambhoja in Sanskrit means lotus, you know, sakaram. So his hands are like lotus. With his lotus hands, he is rubbing his eyes. Yogme na satanka netram, you know, with his hands he is rubbing. And satanka netra, netra is eyes again. So he is rubbing his eyes and crying with his lotus eyes. And what is his disposition at the moment? Satanka netram. Satanka netram. Atank means, in Hindi again, you know, there is this word, atankvadi, means terrorist. So atank means terror. Satank means extreme terror. Krishna at the moment is not only crying and rubbing his eyes, but he is in extreme terror. What kind of god is he, you know, if he is in extreme terror? Not just any ordinary terror, but extreme terror from Mother Yashoda. Why is he exhibiting this kind of qualities, no? Which seems very unusual. Why is that? Because muhushwasa kampa tri rekha ka kanta. Now, before we find the answer, Satyavrata Muni is describing his appearance at the moment. So, what's the next appearance? Muhushwasa. Muhu means again and again, and shwas in Sanskrit means breathing. So, he's breathing heavily as well. So, what is he doing? He's crying, he's rubbing his eyes, he's in fear, his eyes are full of terror, and he's breathing very heavily. That is generally how it is when we are in frustration or anger or terror. Yeah? We are breathing very heavily. Muhu shwasa kampa. Trirekha kakanta. Now this is the reconciliation between his description and his and the fact that he is God. Chattavrata Muni finally reconciles it. No? That trirekha kakanta. Kanta means throat, and trirekha means, three means three, and rekha means lines. Trirekha kakanta. Now, if you picturize, no, or if you recall, when we are crying, and we are crying in fear, how would we look? How would we look? It's not a rocket science question. How would we look if we are crying in fear? What would other person think of us? How would we look? Very beautiful?
No.
No? Then? Honestly, we look pretty terrible, yeah? Not that somebody would want to look us at when we are crying. But when the Lord is crying, then trirekha ka kanta. So, you know, in modern times, in modern parlance, you know, when somebody wants to look beautiful, especially for a man, you know, then they need that 3-pack or 6-pack as well. So, if somebody's got a 6-pack, you know, then he seems to be very beautiful, you know, very handsome, because, you know, that's the, you know, one of the embodiments of, you know, being very beautiful these days, very handsome, you know, with muscles, like Salman Khan. You know. So, when we are crying, we look ugly, but when the Lord is crying, he's got three rekha, you know, in his neck. And this, in spiritual sense, you know, somebody has got three lines here, he looks very handsome. So, when the Lord is crying, he still looks handsome. Now, that is not possible for an ordinary human being to do. Generally, we get too much line because of too much, you know, halwa and pakora in the temple. There is lines everywhere in the body. Different kind of lines. That also is not very good to look at. But the Lord has got three rekha ka kanta. Very beautiful, very handsome when even he is crying. Then, back to the first stanza, the Lord is uncatchable but he got caught. Why did he get caught? Because, sthitha graivandamo daram bhakti badam. Sthitha, situated in Gokula, Graivam Damodara, this Lord Damodara, Bhakti Badham. Badham, no, Badham means not to bandhana, to tie. How did he get caught? How did he get tied? By Bhakti, by love. So, the uncatchable got caught, and the unboundable got bound, not by the length of the rope, but by the depth of the love. not by the length of the rope, because as we know, the rope was always 2 fingers too short. So it continued to be 2 fingers too short for many times. So not by the Krishna got bound not by the length of the rope, but by the depth of Mother Yashoda's love. So the Lord is bound by bhakti. That's the only thing that can bind him. And that's the only thing that can make him cry and run and show fear and all that. Bhakti bana. So then, 3. Iti drikshva lila bhirananda kunde. Iti drikshva lila. This lila, this pastime, drikshva. He's showing this lila, you know, to the inhabitants of Gokula. Ananda kunde, and they are taking ananda. They are taking bliss. They are taking pleasure. What kind of pleasure? Kunde, like a lake. Now, Satyavrata Muni very carefully chooses the word kunde, lake. Because generally, when we talk about, you know, pleasure in Krishna consciousness, you know, that pleasure, if it's compared with, you know, a water body, then that will generally be an ocean. Ocean of mercy, Karuna Sindhu. Ocean of love, ocean of bliss. But here he reduces that bliss to a kunda, to a small lake. These days we don't have that lake that can give us kunda. Generally, when it's 40 degrees for 3 days, maximum we do is go into our bathtub or in the spa or something. That's the maximum water body we can get. Ocean also can be very scorching heat there. So he very carefully uses the word kunda. Why does he say lake and not ocean? You know, just park this question for some time. I'll answer it a little bit later. And if I forget, then ask me. So ananda kunde. No, so he's giving this bliss to the inhabitants of Gokula. So abhosham nima jantam akhyapayantam. He's revealing this to his dear devotees there. Akhyapayantam. Akhya means eyes. So he's showing them. It's not just imagination, it's not just in writing, it's not just, you know, mythology, it's actually happening in front of the eyes. Akhya payantam. Tadiyashitagneshur bhaktir jitatvam. How do these inhabitants of Gokula and Mother Yashoda are able to enjoy this particular pastime of Damodara Lila, you know, and relishing this Ananda Kunde because of Tadiyashitagneshur bhaktir jitatvam? Nyashu and Bhakti. We understand that God is great, and we also understand that God is sweet. There's two ways of approaching the God, approaching Lord. One is Jnana, which is more in the Aishwarya Bhav, you know, more in awe and reverence. And the other is Bhakti, which is Madhurya Rasa, you know, which is sweet. So Lord is great and Lord is sweet as well. Devotees approach the Lord in a sweet path, if you like. That's why bhakti is said is not only, you know, from the other paths to approaching God, which finally culminates into bhakti. It has to. Bhakti is not only the quickest and the easiest, but it is also the sweetest. Every aspect of bhakti is very sweet, including prasadam and kirtan. Like that. So Nyashu and Bhakti, Jnana and Bhakti. Now, two ways people generally approach the Lord. Punha premata stam sata vritti vante. Then he is paying more and more obeisances now. Sata vritti vante. Sata, you know, means, you know, hundreds and thousands of times. So his emotional raptures, you know, are being exhibited now. The poet's emotional raptures are coming out. That it is, you know, sata vritti vante. I am paying obeisances to you, my Lord, again and again and again and again. So when sweetness supersedes greatness, remember, I talked about two things. You know, God is great and God is sweet. So when sweetness supersedes greatness, you know, the sweetness, the madhurya becomes more prominent than the Aishwarya, then the love conquers the beloved. The love conquers the beloved. When Mother Yashoda's sweetness of Krishna, you know, is so high, she can conquer her beloved Krishna. Now, the prayers. Remember, I said this poem is an integration of poetry, song and prayer. Now finally, after describing what is happening, who is this pastime about, what is happening, Satyavrata Muni now talks about his own prayer. What does he say? Varam deva moksha na moksha vadimva na chanyam praneham vare sadapiha. Varam means boon. Varam deva. You are the giver of boons. Deva means giver. You are the giver of boons. Varam deva moksham na. But I don't want the boon of moksha. impersonal liberation. Moksha na. I don't want that impersonal liberation. So before telling what he wants, he is making sure he tells the Lord what he doesn't want. Both ways he is covering his prayer. So moksha na. I don't want impersonal liberation, my Lord. Moksha vadimva. No, I don't want something that is even higher than impersonal liberation. Now, what is higher than impersonal liberation is personal liberation. You know, into the Vaikuntha planets. I don't want personal liberation as well. Now, that's very weird. You know, I don't want impersonal liberation. I don't want personal liberation as well. Na chan anyam. I don't want anything else as well. Anyam. I don't want anything else as well. No personal, no impersonal liberation. Nothing else. Then what do you want, Baba? Na chanyam praneham vare sadapiya. I don't want all that. And sadap, no? Varam deva na chanyam vraneham vare sadapiya. And you are vare sada. In other words, you are somebody who is capable of giving the boon. So when he is about to request his prayer, he is making sure he tells the Lord that I am asking for something that you are about, should be able to give to me as well. Like, for example, you know, if we are working on the streets, you know, and a beggar comes to us and then says, please give me your car. No, there has to be a little bit degree of what he is asking now. If he is asking for $5, we may or may not give. But if he is asking for a car or house, then no chance. You know? So here, in his begging prayer, Satyavarta Muni is making sure that he glorifies Krishna, that you are capable of giving this. I don't want personal liberation, I don't want impersonal liberation, I don't want anything else. But what I want is something you are capable of giving me. What do I want? Idam te vapurnatha gopala balam. Idam te vapurnatha. Oh Nath. Oh my Lord. No, like Jagannath. Prabhupada said, you know, that he's not Puri Nath, he's Jagannath. He's not just the Lord of Puri, he's the Lord of the universe. No, so Jagannath. So Jagannath. Idam te vapurnatha. Oh my Lord, you are capable of, you are the Lord, so you should be able to give. What do I want? Gopala balam. I just want this Gopal balam form that you are now exhibiting in Gokula, this particular form. What to do with that particular form? Sada me manasya virastam ki manya. Sada, eternal. Me manasya, in my mind, no, in my heart. Virastam, be situated, be manifested. This particular form of Gopala Balam, which you are exhibiting in Gokula, I want that to be eternally manifested in my mind and in my heart. No, like internal darshan. Kim annahe. Annahe means no. What else? What else would I want? I don't want personal liberation. I don't want impersonal liberation. I don't want anything else. I just want this particular form of Gopala Balam to be eternally, internally manifested in my heart. What else would I want? Like that. Like sometimes, you know, when there is feast at the temple, and you start seeing the fish buckets and trays going up in the prasadam hall. And if you are chanting in the courtyard, and if you ask somebody, should we go for prasadam? It will be like, what else? Of course. You know, like it's just of course common sense. It's obvious answer. We are of course going to go for the feast. So here Satyavarta Muni is saying, of course, that's all I want. You know, this Gopala Balam to be internally, eternally, internally manifested in my heart. So when the love, and here we see his prayer, right? His request. So when the love is so deep, then the love desires nothing but the beloved. The lover desires nothing but the beloved. All he wants is Krishna's Gopala form. Five. Idam te mukhambojam atyanta neeles. Now his emotional ecstasy is zooming into Krishna's description again. Remember, he described, then he prayed, and now he's describing Krishna again. Idam te mukham ambhoja means lotus, no, we saw this used before, lotus hands. Now, lotus mukham, lotus face. First he said, no, remember he said lotus hands, now he's saying lotus face, yeah? So, idam te mukham ambhoja, you are lotus face. Atyanta neele, what kind of color Krishna possesses? Oh, what color is Krishna? Atyanta neele, neela means blue. So dark blue, atyanta, dark blue Krishna is at the moment. Vritam kuntha lai snigda, kuntha means curly, snigda means silky. And his hair is very curled, as you can see on the altar, and it's very silky. Snigdha. Ritam kuntale snigdha. Raktasya gopa. Rakta means red. Gopya means Mother Yashoda again. Three times used so far. So his hair is curled and very silky, and at the moment it has got tinges of redness. Tinges of redness. Rakta. Why? Because of Gopya. Raktasya Gopya. Mother Yashoda. What did Mother Yashoda do so that his hair is tinged with red? Because of Muhus Chumbitam. Muhus Chumbitam. Again and again Muhu. Chumbita. Chumba. Chumma. Kiss. So his hair is very curly and silky. And it's at the moment tinged with a little bit of redness because of continuously being kissed by Mother Yashoda. Muhus Chumbitam. Bimba Rakta Dharamme. No? Rakta again, red. Bimba Rakta Dharamme. And his lips are also red like bimba fruits. Bimba fruits are red. So Krishna's lips is compared to the bimba fruit, you know, red. Hair is little red and lips are red. Muhus Chumbitam Bimba Rakta Dharamme Manasya Virastam Alam Lakshala. In 4, Satyavrata Muni said, note this word, Sada me manasya virastam ki man hai. That was his prayer. That I want this particular form of Gopala to be eternally and internally ever manifested in my heart. Sada me manasya. What does he say in 5? Manasya virastam. Sada me manasya virastam ki man hai. And here he says, Manasya virastam alam lakshalabhe. Both times, manasya avaristam is repeated. So in other words, he's saying that I don't want only this, just to make it double sure, I want this Gopal form to be eternally, internally manifested in my heart. And what is that form? You know, this lotus face, you know, bluish Krishna, which has got curly hair, you know, silky hair, kissed by Mother Yashoda, reddened lips. I want that kind of form to be eternally, internally in my heart. So making sure he also describes the exact, you know, specifications. Not just any Gopal form, this particular Gopal form. You know? So he repeats his prayer in deep meditation. 6. Namo Deva Damodara Ananta Vishnu Prasida Prabhu Dukha Jaladi Magnam. So after requesting his need and re-emphasizing it with more clarity, then what is he doing? Rima, I spoke about the beggar. When the beggar wants something from us, generally a beggar will employ two strategies. First strategy will be, he will praise the potential donor. Remember? Correct? When you see beggars on the streets, they will glorify us first. Oh, you are so big, you are so big, you are so rich, etc., etc. Second strategy they will use is that they will also show their own destitute position. That how poor they are, how sick they are, how incapable they are, in India, if they want to make it more gross, then rather than, if they don't have an injury, they will put some tomato sauce and wrap it with bandage and all that, So people think it's blood oozing from their body. Very, very gross exhibition of, their destitute position. And then they will praise you, you are look like, you are from a foreign country, because they'll see our clothes and all that, they'll figure out. So they'll say, you are very rich, you are capable of giving, so give it to something, I'm so destitute, I'm so poor, like that. So Satyavrata Muni employs the same strategy when he's begging from the Lord. What does he say? First, he praises the Lord. Namo Deva Damodara Ananta Vishnu. 5 names he gives to the Lord. Namo Deva. Deva means you are the giver. Deva. Damodara. You are Damodara. You are the giver, Deva. And you are Damodara. Oh, you have already given to Mother Yashoda Bhakti. That's why she could bound you. You are giving her to Yashoda. Namo Deva Damodara Ananta. Ananta. You are unlimited. If little you can give to me, your unlimited will not reduce. You will still be unlimited. So just little bit I am asking. So you are Ananta. Like in mathematics we say, they are unlimited infinite numbers. They are unlimited numbers, correct? The numbers are infinite. And they are unlimited odd numbers. And they are unlimited even numbers. So if you take the unlimited even numbers from the unlimited numbers, what are we left with? Unlimited odd numbers. So it is still unlimited. You take unlimited from the unlimited, there is still unlimited left. So here, the Lord is Ananta, unlimited. If I take little bit of kunda, that's why he didn't say ocean. If I just take little bit of kunda, lake of pleasure, then you will still be unlimited. What's the problem? Then give it to me, no? Ananta Vishnu. And you are Vishnu. Vishnu means what, you know? That thing that is in the Anu of the wish. Anu means, you know, in every particle, in every nook and corner, as they say. And wish means, you know, this entire manifestation. So Vishnu, therefore, literally means, you know, all-pervading. And you are all-pervading. It's not that you can give me the excuse, I am in Vaikuntha Loka, and you said you don't want Vaikuntha Loka, personal liberation. So therefore, I cannot give you. No, you are Vishnu, you are everywhere, you are already here. So you can give it to me here as well. You know, Ananta Vishnu. Prasida Prabhu. Please be pleased, my master, Prabhu. So five names he used. Deva, Damodara, Ananta, Vishnu and Prabhu. Namo Deva Damodara Ananta Vishnu Prasida Prabhu. And then he says his situation. Remember I said a beggar glorifies the donor and then shows his own destitute condition. Prasida Prabhu Dukha Jalabdi Magnam. Look at my Dukha. It's Jalabdi Magnam. I am suffering in an ocean. No, Abdi means ocean. Look at my, you know, Dukha, which is an ocean of suffering. Can you see my suffering condition? It's an ocean. Dukha Jala. And Jal means a net. Like how the fisherman catches the fish in a net. Jal. I'm suffering in a network of misery at the moment. We see this word Jal used in our Prasadam prayers as well. Sharirara Vidya Jal. No. In other words, you know, this sharira, this body, is an avidya jal. It's a network of avidya. No, it's a network of ignorance. This whole body is a network of ignorance. Sharira avidya jal. Jyotendriya taheka. No? And these indriyas, these senses are taheka. They are like killing the soul. Killers of the soul. Jyotendriya taheka. Jibe phale viseya sagare. No? And then this jiva, this soul, in the sagar, in the ocean, is being carried in the network of ignorance. Tara madhya jivati. And of all these senses, jiva, the tongue is the taramati. It's the star. It's the main villain, if you like. There are mana villains, there are many villains, but this jiva is the major villain, main villain in the show. Tara madhya jivati. Why is it the main villain? Because lobha maya sudharmati. Because it's always lobe. It's always greedy. It wants to talk and it wants to eat. And both are causes of our problem. Just eat and talk. Eat and talk. That's the main activity the tongue wants to do. Prabhupada said, rather than talking and eating, you know, eating anything else, eat only prasadam and talk only Krishna consciousness. That is the way we get the tongue under control. And Srila Rupa Goswami tells us that when the tongue is under control, then our belly is under control. Then our genitals are under control. And one becomes, you know, then eligible to become, you know, a spiritual master. So tongue is very important. So anyway, we digress. Prasida Prabhu Dukha Jalabdi Magnam. I am suffering in an ocean of, you know, miseries at the moment. Kripa Drishti Vrishtyati Dinam Batanu. Kripa Drishti. Just look at me. Drishti means see. Just look at me with mercy. Kripa. Vrishtyati Dinam. I am Dinam. Dinam means I am fallen. Dinam Batanu. I am very fallen. Graha Nesha Mamajnam Etakshe Drishya. Graha Nesha. I am Anugraha, I am requesting, I am praying, Anugraha, Grahanesha, Mam, Ajnam, and I am also Agyan. There is Jnan, knowledge, and there is Agyan, which means ignorant. So I am very fallen, I am Dina, and I am very ignorant, no, I am Ajna. Edakshe Drishya, can you please look at my condition? No, I am suffering in an ocean of misery, and I am very fallen, and I am very ignorant. And you are Namo Deva Damodar Ananta Vishnu. And you are capable of giving and I am suffering. So please fulfill my prayer. And what is his prayer?
Your Dharma form shall always be in my mind.
Excellent. I was just hoping one person is awake. At least. So my prayer is that, you know, your eternal form of Gopala Balam be eternally, internally present, manifested in my heart. The reason I ask it because now, in Hindi they say, no, if you, or in English as well, if you give one finger, people hold your hand, yeah? So here, no, he's now going to raise his request to another level. The moment it is eternally be present internally in my heart, this Gopala Balam. But now he's going to lift it to another level. Yeah, let's see how he carefully, after glorifying the Lord with these five names and telling his destitute position, he's going to lift his requirements. Yeah, what is it? Seven. Again, before he lifts his prayer, his request to another level, he gives a precedence. That you have already done, what I am about to ask now is something you have also already done. What have you already done? Kuveratmajau Bhadda Murte Vayadva. This Kuveratmajau, the sons of Kuvera, who were Manigriva and Nalukuvera, you know, they were bound in the body of the tree through the case of Narad Muni. And when you were bound to the grinding mortar and you pulled the grinding mortar in between the two trees, so when you were bound, you still could liberate. When we are bound, you see this again in many, you know, movies, when people are bound with chains and ropes and all that, then you need somebody else to come and unbind you, correct? But here, when you were bound, you still liberated, you know, Manigriva and Nalakuvera. So the bound can still liberate. You have already shown the precedence of liberation. Not only you liberated them, but what else you did? Dvaya, you, mochitau bhakti. You not only liberated them, but you also gave them bhakti. You have already given them bhakti. This precedent said, my Lord. Tvaya mochitau bhakti bhajau pritau cha. Then what does he want? Tatha prema bhakti swakhamme prayachha. Now my ichha is tatha prema bhakti. Please give me your prema bhakti, because you have already given it to others. So now, initially it was an internal meditation, but now it's bhakti that I want. Namo kshetra ho mesti damodareha. And he again repeats that I don't want moksha. Na moksha grahe. My anugraha is not for moksha. I want bhakti now. Just rather than just internal meditation, I want bhakti. And what happens when there is bhakti? No? For 5 minutes. So when there is bhakti, no, then he wants Krishna to be, rather than internally present, you know, he wants him to be externally present as well, in front of his eyes, you know, so that there can be a loving reciprocation. Because with internal meditation only, then it remains only as a meditation. Prabhupada tells us, you know, that bhakti means action. There has to be an action. So now he wants that bhakti, whereby he can be, you know, engaged with the Lord in loving service. Yeah. Now, last line, 8. Namaste sudamne sudadhipidamne. Namaste means obeisance again. Namamishwaram. He started with obeisances, and the last stanza is again ending with obeisances. Namam, namaste stu dhamne. No. Dhamne means, Namodarastakam he explained. Dham means? Rope. So namaste stu dhamne. He is paying obeisances to the rope. Now this is a bit unusual. No? Paying obeisances to the Lord is okay, but why would he pay obeisances to the rope? That seems a bit absurd. Why? Because I give this example many times, you know. If, take a famous cricketer, let's example, you know, Sachin Tendulkar or Steve or somebody, you know. If they give you, you know, the cricket bat with which they have scored double century, what would you do with the cricket bat? Devotees will probably not care too much. But, you know, a sports fanatic, you know, will take the bat, you know, put it in a nice glass frame and put it in a museum, or almost like create a new, you know, altar in the house and put the bat there to say, this is the bat that I got from Sachin Tendulkar or Steve or, you know, that for which, you know, Ricky Ponting scored 200 runs. You know. So there is all this namaste cricket bat, you know, obeisances to the cricket bat in every morning. Oh my God, this is the cricket bat for Sachin Tendulkar. So similarly, you know, this rope, you know, that has been able to be bound by Mother Yashoda, no, Krishna got bound by this rope from Mother Yashoda. This rope is also very glorious. So he's paying, no, anything connected with the Lord is also very worshipable. So he's paying obeisances to the rope. Namaste is to dhamne, spurad dipti dhamne. No, that this rope, spurad is splendor. No, this rope, no, is tying that belly, that is also very splendorous. Dipti dhamne. Tadi yodharaya tha vishvasya dhamne. Now this rope that bound the belly, no, tadi doya. No, Twadi Yodharayata, this Udhara, this belly that has been bound, is actually the cause of the entire material creation. How glorious is this robe that has been able to bind that belly that is the cause or the genesis of the entire material creation. Why does Satyavarta Muni say like that? Vishva se namne. No, Vish means entire material creation. Because no, we know from philosophical understanding that the entire creation got created through the navel of Lord Vishnu. From the navel of Lord Vishnu comes that lotus flower on which Brahmaji resides. And Brahmaji then becomes the secondary creator of the universe. So the source, the ingredients comes from Lord Vishnu's belly only, the lotus flower. So this belly, that is the cause of the material creation, is being bound by this rope. So I'm paying obeisance to this rope. So, interestingly, you know, there's a little punch here now. Namo Radhikayai Tva Diya Priyayai. All of a sudden Radharani is mentioned. Namo Radhikayai. So Satyavarta Muni knows, through all these different techniques and structures that he uses, you know, to portray his prayer to the Lord in a poetic way, he makes sure that he is cognizant that Krishna may or may not fulfill his prayer, but if I go to Krishna through Radharani, then there is even more chance. That's why, you know, when we chant, now we say Hare Krishna, because Hare is Radharani, you know, Hare Krishna. So we go to Krishna through Radharani. So here he is taking the same text. Namo Radhikayai Tva Diya Priyayai. Radharani is very priya to you. No? And I am praying to this Radharani, no? Srimati Radharani, no? To help me reach Krishna, to give me that bhakti. No? Namo Radhikayai Tva Diya Priyayai. Then concludes by Namo Ananta Leelaya Devaya Tubhyam. Namo Ananta Leelaya. If one Leela of Damodara Leela is so relishing to me, then what is the joy? What would be the joy in the Ananta Leela? Unlimited Leelas you do. Just imagine the number of the limit of the fathom of, you know, the joy that I can relish if I can get your bhakti and therefore tap into the unlimited pastimes. Namo Ananta Leelaya Devaya Tubhyam. You are the Deva again. You are the giver. So please give me this bhakti. No. So then he says that the unlimited Lord can give us unlimited bliss. We all want to be happy, but we look in a different place. But the Lord can give us unlimited. No, He's got unlimited of everything, including bliss, no, condensed bliss, Satchidananda. So the unlimited Lord can give us unlimited bliss. And during the month of Kartik, no, we find it quite relishing. No, people come at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. and at home and home programs, no, because there's a joy. But if this one particular pastime is so joyful, imagine the joy that is sitting there for us to tap into when there is unlimited pastimes to be, you know, unraveled. So the Lord is unlimited and therefore His pastimes are unlimited and the pleasure is unlimited. Now I rushed through because I wanted to get to the 8th verse by 9 o'clock and I did. So I'm going to stop here. Maybe just one question if there is time, otherwise I'll stop. Yes, Madhuri.
We had one pastime on the altar. It was Yuvanyatra time and I was blessing Radha Krishna. And Bhumichari said to Jari that time, and he was trying to find the, you have to bind Krishna so when you swing him, he doesn't fall.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to, he couldn't bind him. He couldn't bind him. And the time was running, he was like, already to we have to open the gates and everything. And I was like, you know, Krishna, you, and then I said, look, Krishna, you have to let us bind you because otherwise you'll fall while we swing. And as soon as I said that, Bhumichari bound him. And it was like, a really interesting pastime. And said, Bhumichari said, we bind him only because we prayed for him to bind him.
The unboundable got bound. For those who are online, you know, Rasavinasthi Mataji was just sharing some realizations from one of the pastimes. Anything else, or should we stop here? Stop here? Shri Radha Damodar ki?
Yeah.
Shri Prabhupada ki?
Yeah.